This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't.
With G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man, and we are back at it. Hey, we are back. Another dope show has been another dope week of advertising. That's Wu-Tang once again in the background. That's how you know I'm in the stew, right? You know I'm in the stew. But before this, we were jamming some dope, dope music, though. Yes, like, I mean, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. I am sweaty, only because my fitness is not where it could be. But yeah, it got a bit messy in here. We'll get into the details. We'll get into the details of some of that in a little bit with my guest who's here in the studio today. I'm going to introduce it to her in a little bit. But how have you guys been? Hey, how have you guys been? It's been another dope week of advertising. Final week of the Lurie's deadline. I had a conversation with we'll chat about that man also a little later. I had a conversation with Neo Mashego about the Lurie's deadline. He said this is it. This is the final one. You know what I mean? There's not going to be another one. There's not going to be can we just enter? You know what I mean? And you know how that is. So if you ever fly to your stuff, get your stuff flighting. I know the recording studios must be busy as fuck today because there's some last minute radio spots coming through this too. So good luck to all you guys. Oh, don't act like we don't know. We know. Good luck to all you guys in the studio today. All you guys working hard. All the voice artists come through for the guys. You know what I mean? Good luck to all the sound engineers making us all look good, making us all sound good. Good luck to everybody that's making all the work, man. Everyone that's making all the work. We can't wait for the Lurie's to come through later this year. It's gonna be dope. It's always dope. But yeah, it's good to be back in the studio. Another amazing week of a whole bunch of stuff has happened. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna actually introduce my guest, and then what we're gonna do then is then we're gonna get into some of the stuff that's happened. You know, but remember to hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM, or at CliffCentral.com with your comments, with your questions for my guest, or with some of the stuff you want to tell me. You know, and remember there's also that WhatsApp number 079-748-2090. Hey. What's up with you? Eh? Nothing wrong, adverts. A whole bunch of things happening. But don't, like I said before, if you follow me on social media, and kind of if you've been in the game for about 5-10 minutes as well, you know, then you know my guest. You know, you've encountered her. You've encountered her either on your side or on the other side. But we're gonna get into all the details about that, about everything that she's done and everything that she's been up to. But wait, hold on. What if I did something? Yeah, there we go. Ah, I messed it up. All right, cool. There we go. That's much better. So what I want to do is, I'm gonna introduce you to my guest, and then we're gonna have a chat about it, and then she can tell us what she's been up to. But remember, once again, get hold of me and tell me everything that you've been doing, because I want to get my sound effects working properly, coming out the right place, so I can get the, you know, guys, this show is what it is with those sound effects. You remember that week when Cheza and Lerato did the show? It was dope. I mean, I was listening to it. I couldn't be in the stew, but you know, it was just missing every now and then a young tweet, you know, and a young clap, you know. So I think that there we go. That's what we were missing. So I think I've got it now. It's gonna be playing out our Gen 2. That's where the sound effects are gonna be coming out of. Thanks to the technical arm of the show. Every now and then, you know, we have young glitches, but the youth is here for us to help us look better. Anyway, let's get back onto the program. Like I was saying to you guys before. If you've been in the game for about 5-10 minutes, you've encountered my guest. I think she actually speaks for herself. But let's do that. Let's get in there and get it to tell us what's going on. But in the studio with me today is none other than Miss Kuku. What's going on?
Hello.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's so good to have you in the stew. I mean, huge shout out to Cheese. Cheese, shout out to you, my man, for getting Kuku in the stew. You know, it takes a lot. How have you been, lady? How have you been?
I've been busy, you know. Yeah. You know how busy I've been.
I mean, I know, but not everyone knows.
Yeah.
But what have you been up to? What's on your plate? You know, I like to ask people when they come through here, like, what's that thing that's in your inbox right now that we pulled you away from? You know what I mean? What did you have to shuffle around in order to get you?
Actually, today, the thing you pulled me away from, even as I parked in the parking lot, was a customer order.
Oh, hello!
From Google Intimates,
there we go.
That needs to be packed and shipped.
Yeah.
To someone, yeah.
In fact, you know, let's just get straight into it. Tell us what Google Intimates is. What is it? What exactly is it?
So, scarily enough, before July 2017, brown-skinned women in Africa who needed a nude bra were shown a pale beige color.
Yeah.
In the stores. Yeah. And
isn't that like the time when, like, the crayons as well, like, when they said skin or something like that, it was that pale color you're talking about?
Yeah, so even with Band-Aid, when they say flesh colored, whose flesh? This is not my flesh. So Kuku Intimates was born, first skin colored underwear brand and range coming out of Africa to address the need for a variety of nudes underwear shade spectrum.
Not those nudes, you.
No,
the
only nudes you should be sending anyone.
Boom! I feel like we just cracked the campaign right here. The only nudes you should be sending. I mean, guys, Google, I'll be sending an invoice.
No, I said it. Look, I'll be sending you an invoice.
Let me tell you, people have won awards for being in the room when ideas have been come up with. Okay, I know how this works. I've been in this industry for a little bit. So. So then you kind of saw the gap, right?
So I saw the gap from a personal need, and luckily I was still well deep within the advertising space where there's a lot of females, as you would know, in any agency.
Right. Yeah.
And asking the question, what do people do when they're wearing a white shirt or a white T-shirt?
Yeah.
And we comparing notes about the Zara vest, the Mango this, the Chemisole. I'm going, but shouldn't the bra do better? Shouldn't the bra, like, blend better with your skin tone and have more variety of nudes? But more than that, was my job that keeps the lights on is as a strategist.
That's
and
right.
My inner strategist was going, you know what got me to love brands was brands that spoke to me.
Right.
That seemed to try to understand where I'm coming from and meet me at that place.
Right,
so
right.
Now there's this product problem that I've come up with. I have this opportunity to create the brand I've been dying to work on whole life. So that's how Kuku Intimates came about.
Isn't that more of the pressure though? Now, you know what I mean? Because you're almost like you are your own client, right? So now you go at yourself with, like, you know, with the same vigor that you go at other products. But now, like, doesn't it make you more critical of the work that you do for yourself?
I am rather hard on myself, but I think it's the thing I speak about quite a bit, about creating from a place of love, not from a place of fear.
There we go. I like that.
My thing about it was that, like, at the end of the day, the one thing I meditate on quite often is that I am the target market.
That's right.
I always I collaborate with, I find collaborations with people. I've worked with some of the most amazing photographers so far.
Yeah.
And we're creating that kind of ecosystem brand that goes, look, we just have a great story to tell. If you're a storyteller, whether visually, audiovisually.
That's right.
We've had Nova write our beautiful manifesto.
Hello.
So we've collaborated with creatives.
Shout out Nova, what's going on? Shout out Nova, what's up?
Hey Nova.
Hey, what's up?
We've collaborated with creatives and from that perspective, I mean, I take that pressure off myself like that.
Yeah.
Like by going, let me bring in experts. I know what good looks like. I'm the target audience.
That's
right?
What's up.
But I need to allow people to co-create with me.
That's dope.
Yeah, and that's been the fun part.
That's fantastic. That is so cool. That's Kukun Kabine, guys, in the studio with me today. Hit me up, like I said, on Twitter. That's at Blacksemex, at BLAXEM, or at Cliff Central, cliffcentral.com. Cliff Central. Cliffcentral.com. And then we can have a chat. You know, ask Google anything that you want. So I'm glad that we actually started at that tip, because let's just kind of get into some of the stuff that's happened recently. So Miss South Africa happened this past weekend. Yeah. Shout out Miss South Africa.
Shout out Taryn.
What's up, Taryn Green? How you doing?
Taryn Green.
It's your boy G-Man, the ad man. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Just catch us on the radio. But yeah, how amazing was that? I mean, I don't think that I've watched the pageant from start to finish. Since those whole back in the day, since those open time days, you know what I mean, when like you had to go, I remember we had to go to my cousin's house and everyone would congregate there and everyone would just be like, you know, and it felt like they went on longer, and then if that there was a dip at some point in the interest from the pageants. What do you think they did differently in order to kind of keep the brand excited, or keep us excited this year?
So I watched the pageant with a friend. We actually had a private viewing party. We set up a date.
Yeah, you had a pageant date.
With Noni.
Right.
A mutual friend.
Shout out Noni. How you doing? How you doing, Noni?
So we always find ourselves engaging about sponsorship events, branded properties, and lifestyle events, because it's both our passion. She's from a PR space. I'm from a branding and consumer space. And one of the first things we pointed out when she called me on Friday to say, let's watch it, was how they stepped out of the archaic 60-something-year-old organization to go, let's go and try and find the people where they're at.
Right.
I'm not saying that the execution of it was perfect, right? Hey. There were some painful moments of the placements and the branded content, but I think it was a huge step in them going, let's go where the people are.
Yeah.
Even in the judges, when they announced them, I was kind of like, on some of the fronts, I was like, wait, this is like...
Exactly.
Well, like, and then shut I was up, like, Kaya, wait,
what's going on, bro?
I grunt. But what I was saying was, he then represents the guy on the couch.
That's
because
right.
That person
absolutely
needs to have their person going, nah, but that's not what we're looking for in South Africa.
Exactly,
And in hindsight, it was brilliant, right?
Yeah.
But it was coming to meet the people on the social media platform at the engagement
that's
level.
That's right.
So you knew, because of Sunday Twitter's culture, that if you didn't watch it, you would miss out
on
a conversation.
Missing out. That's right.
So you tuned in because, you know.
Well, no, because you know, I feel like, you know, it's one of those big beacons of cultural understanding. No, it's not. Of course, because of FOMO. Right? No, I thought it was really cool. And I mean, you point out something really, really interesting. How the product placement was real. You know what I mean? Like they were not messing
my
around.
Money.
It you know what I mean?
What is my cost per contact?
Exactly.
Sweat it.
You know, like back in the day, you would just be bombarded with Lux ads in between. You know what I mean? Like it just be like
generics.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Like this, they just flight the same campaign they were flighting. Sorry, and just carry on. But not this time. This time it felt like I think the Samsung client, for example, was just like, guys, you got to put me in there, and it actually worked. I felt like they did quite a good job of kind of integrating it in there almost seamlessly. But you know, I feel like our cynical advertising minds just kind of go,
our strategist minds. Look, for me, it's more from a continuous improvement perspective. The reason why I watch these things with my peers and my friends is we are the people that sit in these rooms sometimes
and get
asked, how do we make this more engaging? So first of all, they did not invent the wheel.
If
you've watched Survivor, if you've watched your international reality shows, they brand the content in a way that is seamless to the activity, not who's got money to give us for this property.
That's what's up.
So that's the thing that I would say in year two would probably need to balance a little bit more.
Yeah.
Is it authentic? Does it make sense to have Miss South Africa models who are supposed to be demure and all the vision of grace, right?
Because
that one is not a fashion pageant. It's like it's a slightly different persona that you're looking for. So what you're asking them to do in the activities needs to then, that's why we brand strategists are solutions architects.
That's right.
We will come and go, I see that you want to pay your money.
All these other strategists out there trying to go,
hi strategists. We go, listen, I see that you want to put the car there.
Yeah.
But listen, first of all, it's a 4x4. I don't think it's believable these girls driving them. Why don't we create something?
Yeah.
You understand? I would look at those things quite a bit and go, oh, there's a lot of things I would have done differently.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't fault them. I get
that's
why they
right.
were done.
That's
they were
right.
in the marketing sense good business. It was good business.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, it's obviously in its infant stages, this kind of, you know, the blending in of the brand messaging. I thought the Gyrotech, was it Nissan that did the Gyrotech thing?
Yeah.
With the driving exercise. I thought that was really cool. I thought it was like, okay, cool. It takes us away from everything we've seen before on pageants. But then again, I say seen before, like I watch pageants every year. I don't watch pageants every year.
It's okay if you do, Grant.
It is okay if it's okay. I do. I know it's okay if I do.
It's what you
doing?
Do.
What are you doing? What are you doing? How? Hey, man. Hey. Anyway, but I thought it was really cool. But to your point, I think that it's important for that to evolve going forward.
And to get authentic and then get baked
That's right.
in. The one thing I did struggle with,
yeah?
if we're going to be real, because I see you're calling things out.
Yeah.
I was struggling with, is this a presenter search?
Oh, snap.
Do you understand? That one was super awkward. I'm like, let me, 2 cents for free.
Yeah.
What I've done different, what they do already, they Insta story.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
That's right.
So you cover them doing what they
guys,
do.
Guys, Google's giving out ideas for nothing.
No, I'm just going, look, for this one, it's a, listen, it was a bit awkward for us audiences
it was very
to
awkward.
Watch. Like,
it was very
and
awkward.
Also, when you're going to make them do activity, like they do in the Miss USA pageants, there's a point.
Yeah.
There's points graded that happen. I kept going at the end of it, so, uinile, and then? Does it add to, you know, like, gamify the
thing.
Yes, let's gamify it, for lack of a better word, and say,
yeah.
So we are engaged and rooting for our girl. I felt a little bit like I didn't know how to.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah. Somebody called out and said it was. It felt like a top billing audition.
SABCY audition. Look, I've seen top billing auditions. Hey, Miss South Africa.
Hey, shout out Miss South Africa. Anyway, I'm just saying. Tamara Green, it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. You know what I mean? You want to hang out anytime? You know, I find myself in Cape Town quite a bit.
I just sat through an ad for you for Tamara Green.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying. You know. By the way, but let's move on. No, but before we move on, actually, I actually want to touch on something that you said now that is about the relevance. You know, this is a conversation we all have every year. You know, every year we just kind of go, are beauty pageants still a relevant thing? Is it? Should we still be talking about women? You know, because there's obviously the extreme view of it being, you know, it's women parading in swimsuits and there's no end to, and it doesn't seem like there's any kind of end game that's empowering to women or empowering to human beings moving forward as a species. What's your take on that?
I think that's like a very like, a mobile screen perspective of beauty pageants, because even we know watching it.
Yeah.
When the one Miss South Africa comes to tell you about her reign, we know that first and foremost, there'll never be enough giving back.
Right.
We need all the giving back we can do, even if it means somebody has to go dedicate their life with a sash to do it.
That's right. Got you.
So the relevance of beauty pageants, I'm going, like, as long as there's eyeballs to watch them. Yeah. Right.
I like that. Yeah.
Thank you. As long as there's eyeballs watching, first of all, that's advertiser value. It's why I work. It's why I have a job, okay? As long as there's eyeballs watching with an interest. So yes,
right.
There are people who still want beauty pageants. But secondly, I've always been fascinated by the idea. I've known people who have represented buying licenses for these things. So I've gotten to see what happens in the background. It's actually it's almost like a very long and drawn out way of choosing like an ambassador.
Right.
And also it helps you rally up brand sponsors. People will then give you money because
influencer.
Can we do another show? Like a whole hour. Like, please. I'm in.
Shout out to my influencers squad.
Shout out to my influencers. I am coming for you because we can do better. We can be better.
We
can be, if we want to be world class, let's be world class. Just black excellence everything. I call it the black excellence thing of life. We are just happy to be doing stuff now. I know that we come from a disadvantage, right?
Okay. No. Yeah, let me slow down. You tell me. So are you saying that the idea of, and because I have my view on that as well, of the idea of us going black excellence as opposed to concentrating on excellence, like, period. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I not that there's right and wrong ways of thinking, right? But in my perspective of what's happening is, it's almost like in one hat we are saying there is no black and white, there is opportunity.
Right.
But in excellence, there's a black one and there's another one, right? So from that perspective, I don't believe, and I don't get hyped up by the idea of black excellence, although I do not take for granted the struggle that's come before me to allow me with this skin tone to do the things I do.
Got you.
A pride, and for me, it's more pride than it is a badge, you know, because It's excellence. I want to be excellent against everyone.
That's
I
right.
compete against yeah. and not
I'm not just
playing
against
black.
The blacks.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In business as in life. The same way we
you,
don't
I
want
you.
To be blacked everywhere else.
Yeah, I don't want to be
Let's
the first black anything.
Here. Compete.
Yeah.
Come in, be the best at it. But don't take for granted when you are breaking new ground.
Yeah,
let's not dumb down our successes. I'm not about that. We must shout it on the rooftops.
Let us not dumb down our successes. I love that shit.
No,
I love that shit
too
much.
It's yours.
It's your boy, G-Man the Admin. The Education Day is coming out of the show, guys, all the fucking time. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM. If you got any questions for Google, if you got any questions for me, sorry, if you got any questions for Tamron Green. I mean, she's not here, but I'm sure we can make sure the questions get to her. But yeah, man. Let's have a hangout. Another thing that's happened. Whoa, I feel like we can't gloss over this. We have to make sure that we spend enough time probably talking about this. So in just the kind of the past 24, 48 hours, Neo Mashego.
Yay!
Right? Hey, OT, what's going on, man? Shout out Noah Mashego.
We all check, guys.
Right? I mean, he's just been named the Chief Creative Officer of... I'm just playing all my sound effects all at once right now.
All of them.
Chief Creative Officer at MNC Sanchi. I mean, how big is that? I mean, I think this is one of those things where, you know, we were always worried about how the come up of all of us is going to be and how important and how real it's going to be in the game, right? And how, because we also know how easy it is to just kind of, you know, to place faces at things and just kind of surround them with people who actually make the calls. But this, for me, this feels like it's one of those big things. It feels like it's a really big deal for a really big agency, the big international reputation as well, to locally take, like put a stake in the ground and put a man like him, obviously with a very big following, in this position. How what's your take on that? I mean, I'm excited as fuck, as you might not be able to tell.
I'm just excited to be watching what's happening generally beyond the past 48 hours.
That's
because
right.
I think we can all see the things. I think we take for granted sometimes when we've been fighting this battle for a long time.
Yeah.
See us, you know, give us positions of influence. Let us bring in the culture.
Yeah.
We've been fighting for so long, we've forgotten to take this moment and actually just celebrate
Boom.
Your success.
Boom! Grant. I like that.
Neo, it's not just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a big thing that we can. And also, what I was actually looking at this morning and in quite awe, and I don't know if it's only just more in the male side of the ad game, because I haven't experienced this as a client coming into ad side
with my
journey, is that you guys genuinely root for each other.
That's what's
As
up.
In, even if you were to compete for a pitch,
yeah.
you meet at the client's door to compete for the pitch.
Yeah.
I love how I can see how you genuinely root for each other
that's
outside of the space. I see you at each other's launches and
yeah.
that. And that's what is the important part of the come up for me, is that while we were fighting for these doors to be opened, when they are opened, we didn't find ourselves on the opposite sides now fighting
that
each
is
other.
So dope. That is so
which
dope.
Is such a nice thing to see.
You're going to make me weep on my own show.
Yeah, it's time to make you emo.
But I've never actually thought about it like that. You know, I never thought about the fact that, you know, it does feel like that. It feels like it's a natural thing for us to kind of go, you know what, the guys just won this account, let's just be at this thing. You know, the guys just opened a new agency, let's go be at this thing.
Yeah.
It feels like we're all doing it. Every time it happens, it feels like, you know, all of us are in it. Speaking of which, I think we might as well just have a segment on this show called The Odd Number. I think we might as well just do it.
This week in The Odd Number,
2020. That's it. You know what I'm going to do? Use Boo and Cola. I'm going to find a piece of music, right? And it's going to be that. It's going to be a segment called The Odd Number. Because they just want another piece of business. I mean, get the fuck out of here. Guys, what's going on in that building? I really want to know what's going on in that
Killing
building.
Killing it.
It's insane. Because they just won. It says here that Stadio Holdings appointed Odd Number, right? So Stadio Holdings, they support 5 institutions, right? Which make up what they call a multiversity. Right? So after Lysoff, the Milpark Education Embry, right? And the Southern Business School. Yes, the Southern Business School. So essentially, it's like an education group that essentially have entrusted the Odd Number with their account. I mean, is there anything these fucks can't do?
We're selling education.
I mean,
now
we're selling education. From beggars to education. I mean, I feel like there's nothing the fucking Odd Number can't do.
Huge
congratulations
to
the guys. You know, but I mean, it's to that point now. It feels like every time something happens and every time one of us does something big, it makes us all warm on the inside.
It's for all of us, because before to get this far, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly it, you know. So it always feels like, you know, we're on the way, guys. We're on the way. In fact, it feels tasteable now. You know what I mean? I feel like we're, in fact, it's tasteable and hella tangible. And it feels like we're there.
And there's enough for everyone. And the moral of the story in this whole, when I hear, you know, people I used to work with in the corporate side go, "Oh, another agency." I'm like, yes, because there are people being born every day.
Exactly.
That new people will know how to speak to. I see my girl here has just tuned in to watch. She's got a digital agency.
Yeah.
And she's like found this gap in teaching girls in Bloom about digital.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like going, yes, she's not native competitor.
Yeah.
There's enough
exactly.
for everyone.
Oh, let's talk. Tell me about that. What is this thing?
Oh, Digital Shiro.
Yeah.
I hope she's still watching. So, I met Mags in varsity many, many years ago, but always been never okay with the status quo.
Yeah.
Her company is called Digital Shiro. Look it up.
Right.
Basically, I hope I helped her configure what her unique thing was. Because when I started Google Intimates, I came out of the structure of an agency, the cushiness of having traffic, scheduling my stuff.
Yes,
and
yes,
suddenly
yes, yes.
I am CCO, COO.
Yeah.
I'm everything in Google Intimates. One minute my investors are asking if I've got a logo designed. The other ones are asking how's the website going.
Right.
I'm going, guys, I'm focused on the bra. Damn it. Like,
can I do the thing? The thing we sell.
Along she came and was like, listen, I know how important digital is because you see this as an e-commerce platform. Let me coordinate the parts. And I said to her, to be honest with you, anyone I know who's leaving their jobs, their biggest stress is who's going to run with
all
those
the other
parts.
Because
in every part, there are multiple parts. There's the design guy. There's the dev guy.
That's right.
So she kind of trafficked me
right.
for a while. And within that, she got to understand a lot more of her skills. She does media buying.
Wow.
She also collects insights. And she's kind of the call me in, tell me your problem.
Right.
And,
oh, that's
dope. And we'll then make a solution. Bloom girl.
Yeah.
She's doing
that's
the damn thing.
Shit.
So,
well, you shout out. You shout out.
I mean, so these are the agencies that I say there's enough for everyone. So when we see our people win and launch a new thing and win a new client, there's more where that came from.
Yeah.
Don't be snacks.
Yeah.
Go celebrate. Go high five a homie because there's more where that came from.
I like that. Don't be snacks. Oh, guys, Google Cabinet's in this with us today. And as you can tell, you know, I feel like there's so much for us to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really, really cool. I think you know, what I want to do is I actually want to find out, you know, so you speak about when you are on the client side.
Yes.
You know, and obviously there's been a transition, you know, from being in the client side. What do you think has been the biggest or was the biggest shock for you when you kind of made the leap from the client side to
agency
to hang out with us, the homies.
I was actually telling my best friend this morning. She came, she popped by the house, and I was telling her I'm coming to this show.
Yeah,
and she's like, "So how's it like being plugged back into agency?" So the long story short is, I started my career 13 years ago at Unilever,
right,
as a marketer, and
went
through the whole University of Marketing.
There we go,
and got through the likes of your SABs, national brands. Standard Bank, I worked on brands like Bacardi. So crawl through the client space, getting to know myself, what kind of marketer am I? The first question I was asked by Mzamo Masito then in 2007 was,
shout out to Mzamo Masito, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, it was, you should know what kind of marketer you are quickly, because a generalist, there are many generalists. But see if maybe you're the kind that specializes. I got to know quickly that I like a problem.
Right.
I'm the challenge. I'm the problem solver. So give me the brief at the, we are declining. Everyone's eating our lunch.
Yeah, yeah,
it's messy.
Yeah,
I want that brief.
Yeah, give me that
And then once we've done the brand plan and things are starting to tick in place, I get bored. So I would leave my jobs every 2 to 3 years, right?
Yeah. When you fix the problem.
Yes. When it's now becoming, don't reinvent the wheel. We think this is amazing.
Yeah.
And
no.
Okay, my time is done. And then I'm gone. It hit me really at Castle Light when I met Joe Public. Where I was leaving to go join Bacardi, but I had to run the pitch to get the agency to do that campaign.
Right.
And I had heard about Polisa and Joe and the work they were doing.
Yeah.
And I called them into the pitch, like they were not even on kind of the radar at the time of some of these SAB kind of brands. And they came and they blew our lights out. But at the end of it, the chief strategy officer there, Laurent, came to me and he said, "You're in the wrong job."
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, "Sorry, what do you mean?" He says, "You're on the wrong side. You're supposed to be
on
here.
On this side, yeah."
Fast forward anyway, 3 years later, we keep bumping into each other.
Yeah.
He keeps telling me, let me know when you're tired. I'm like, dude, you can't afford me. Advertising cannot afford me. Because that's what we were told.
Yeah.
That's what we were told, that advertising doesn't pay.
Can't afford you,
By the way, hugs also are a currency.
Yeah.
they pay in hugs. So Just joking.
That's a whole other show. That's a completely other show.
But anyway, when we caught up, and then eventually I did hit that ceiling where I was like, I can't keep leaving like this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just the problem solver. And he called me and he said to me, you're a strategist. Let me play you a recording of how you briefed us. You were already unpacking the brief for creatives. Like,
wow.
Come give it a shot.
Yeah.
And I never looked back. But the thing that was jarring that I was telling Jill about this morning is, guys, Jeepers is hierarchical in agency. Oh my gosh. Like, you must know. You are a newbie. You must know where you are.
You must know whose toes to step on.
So I get struck every time when somebody pauses me and goes, but you are a this. We can't do that with you. I'm like, dude, let's go grab coffee. What do you mean? But, like, are you not a human?
But hold on, it's the hierarchy.
Do you mean the bureaucracy?
Yes, you know, it's kind of, I don't know whether,
I call it hierarchical because it's almost like it's based on where you step in the pecking order and what you have.
It's general, by the way.
Like, this thing is general. I walk in there and they're like, and then a little junior strategist told me, and I'm just going, oh my gosh, you know what's weird? At Unilever, when you were given your brand, like, your point was just as important as the marketing director at the table. You had to contribute in the meeting. So it strikes me because I always go, my nephew who's 24 gives me some of the brightest ideas. What do you mean?
That's right.
I guess what happens is,
you know, because of how of the archaic way that the agency was always set up, you almost felt like every time you came in, the guys above you were still teaching you, for lack of a better word, right? Yeah. And obviously we understand that, you know, that that way of doing stuff that doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked for a while, right? So for people to come in and have an opinion, it's almost like, wait a minute, where did you learn that? You know, because you're supposed to know everything that I teach you. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that complicates a lot of people's lives because they don't understand the fact that it's exactly that, you know. And also, I think then what you do then is you take too much on yourself as a person in leadership.
In leadership,
because you're going, I must find all the solutions. No, there are all these kids that are coming out of everywhere who have all these solutions that you would never probably even arrive at.
Absolutely. So, I don't know half the stuff about my social media. One thing I've known from the jump was I wrote the brand strategy for Google Intimates on the business side.
Yeah.
And I went out looking for who are the kids doing the things.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what good looks like, but I'm not the one.
Yeah.
Like, these kids know things. They were born with cell phones in their hands. We were born with landlines.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So, like, no, we know our place.
Do the tap.
Tap dialing. Yeah. You were the ones there. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to give that... What I find jarring is what I believe I come to bring into the advertising space is that open collaborative way of thinking.
Yeah.
Yes, I know that structure's there to give order.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So I'm not saying it shouldn't
be. It should just be chaos.
It's just that I always find like we need to work harder as we climb up to diffuse that notion that you need to like mind your place, you know, like and allow people to grow. Like let us have a 21-year-old you know, creative director
who leads the process,
who's won an award because we allowed him just that one shot.
I think that's really dope. I like that a lot. Hey, those young creative directors are loving you right now. All those guys who put creative director next to their name.
Hi, kid. I'll take my checks and like coffee.
So I mean, you touched on something like that's obviously one of the challenges, right?
Yeah.
But what are the other challenges you think you've encountered from being a freelance strategist, right? So so obviously then you walk into different types of buildings, right? Some better than others, some with better coffee than others. You know what I mean?
Don't mention the coffee thing, dude. It's a real thing.
Hey.
Guys, please, if you got freelancers, please get proper coffee. It's like really hard out there.
But what would you say? What would you say like some of the most... The things that set agencies apart, from the viewpoint of a strategist.
Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Marcus Drucker said that.
Boom!
I started off at Unilever 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I realized we were looking for, any Unilever, they are called Unilevers. People who leave Unilever. Yeah, they're called Unilevers.
Right.
When we meet, the thing we talk about is like...
Clients come up with the best ideas.
The rumor... That word that I can't say on air, that one. So, like, the thing about Unilever is that they focus more on creating the garden, the soil, make it fertile, and create the bombs. And that's why people like us, when we go to reunions, we are never shocked at what we are out there doing. I mean, the guy who started Bottles is a Unilever. You know, one of the big CEOs of one of FNB's divisions is a 30-something-year-old Unilever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's this thing that they built, this culture that becomes embedded in you as a person.
Yeah.
So what sets agencies apart, the agencies that have ended up having longer relationships than the initial project that I came on board to work, has always been at a people level.
Right.
You see, like, you will know how well an agency will do by how it develops its greatest assets, which is its people. You can go farm all the work, win all the pitches, dude.
Yeah.
But when it's time to deliver that work,
yeah.
if your people are not motivated, they feel like you don't listen to them, they will give you bare minimum.
Yeah.
And you'll keep thinking you're shooting the lights off.
Exactly.
And you wonder why you're at the bottom of the rankings, all of these agency rankings that everybody lives off. Is you gotta
every now and then it's just a shot.
I'm just going. How you don't panic at the rankings.
Yeah.
You panic at the everyday attitudes of your people within the team. Like you've gotta be concerned about whether the soil is fertile for the ideas to come out within your agency. The agencies I love, the agencies I continue to root for. When I walked in, didn't treat me like a consultant. They valued my opinion. They brought me in when I could see that the problem was bigger than what they thought.
Yeah.
There's a level of trust that comes with an agency that works. And that's the agency that doesn't have the hierarchy that allows a junior to go, I have an idea.
That's right.
Do you know
what
I mean?
That's dope. That's dope. I like that a lot. I like that so much.
Yeah.
That's great. Because also, I mean, there's obviously another dynamic that you obviously have to deal with at all these agencies. And that's the dynamic between, well, the dynamic that happens at that bridge to get to the creatives, right? Because, you know, that has been known to also be a quite a minefield all on its own, right? So like the idea of the idea of how guys, why is this taking so long in strategy, right?
The bottleneck.
Strategy also like eats up all the time, and then we only get like a week, which is a reality, right? Obviously because I sit on this side, but what has been the most interesting, I guess, take that you've seen in bridging kind of that mess between strategists and creators, because it's very easy for that to get very, very flammable.
Yeah. So I'm going to start it like mostly with my understanding of the definition of strategy.
Yeah.
When I started to call myself a strategist, I was actually still on client side. When people would say, what would you do? I'd be like, so I'm a strategist.
Yeah.
Basically, I solve people's problems.
Right.
Because that's what I decided to call it into being.
That's right.
That this job actually exists, and thank God it existed. I didn't have to make the title up. But the whole point of the strategist is that your job there is like if there were three circles interlinked, you sit there to protect those three circles. You keep them together. That's client, that's consumer, that's creative. Okay.
Right.
I have to be, that's why I spend so much time walking into your office. It's never about work, it's about checking barometer. I need to know where people that are going to take the brief are at.
Yeah.
I need to know that my account service team has got a good relationship with the client so that we are getting stuff right. You know when a client's mad at you, I've been that client, when they just say to you, I need an activation, you know they're setting you up to fail.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to troubleshoot for accounts for client services to go, I think you've got a problem with that client.
Yeah.
What you're sounding to me sounds like, because I've also sat on the other side.
That's right.
So what's going to bridge that gap between the relationship between creators and strategists is for strategists to see themselves not as the brains that makes everything happen, but the facilitator.
Right.
You don't exist outside of these people. There's no point of a damn good strategy brief with no one to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing is the perspective that strategy takes more time, because the perception is that we just go rewrite the client brief for you.
Yeah.
We don't. We go and we go live the world in the brain of the client and then in the brain of the consumer, so that you get that one line says, what are we trying to do? That takes time sometimes.
It really does. And so does creating the work. Because we all have deadlines, I get.
Yeah.
And I guess the frustration that I remember dealing with.
Why are you fighting with me?
I'm fighting for the people here.
And everyone out there knows,
people know the creators know the thing I'm talking about, because it always seems like that, right? It always feels like, guys, we're not there yet. Fine, I hear you. I hear you. We're not there yet. But something's got to give, because you're eating away at the time for us to make your whatever you bring to us come alive.
I need a disclaimer though. You've never experienced that with me, right?
No, I've not.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And it's grateful for the agencies that have shown me a view of their processes, but coming from client side and then having to freelance and straddle and then having to have a business that needed the creative services.
Ah, right.
Made me realize that, first of all, while this is unique to me, my experience and the way that I live my life allows me to always try and be on the cusp of stuff, so I can form an opinion quite easily.
Right.
If you remember with our H&M brief, by the end of the weekend, I'd kind of put a stake in the ground. Don't worry about the strat is going to circle here.
Yeah.
It's not going to
leave
this and allowing you to start. I do think that strategists need to get more fluid.
You
need to just rush yourself to put a stake in the ground. You can't, either your brief was just not clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't make it, like a big, if your brief wasn't clear, go back to client.
Yeah.
But if you can't put a stake in the ground and have an assumption or some kind of hypothesis actually of, you know what, I think we need to get more people to buy more X and we're going to do that roughly like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the creators can start to know the ballpark, because creativity doesn't keep office hours, you see.
You see, and that's also the other important part, because what happens is why sometimes these things take a long time is because strategists are waiting to find this piece of poetry.
Because
somehow somebody's trying to get their line to end up on the ad, right?
Because when strategists started creating creative lines, it became a competition.
Man, that was fantastic. And now that's what people are calling it. People are calling it the creative platform. As in the line that they're supposed to give us, they're calling it the creative platform. Like, that's not what the fuck that is. That is not a creative platform. That's your strategic jump off. But now everyone is taking time to bring the briefs to us.
Yeah, we must call it that. Strategic jump off.
Yeah, yeah. I think that makes better sense to me.
Like this, this is where you get off.
Don't waste time because you're waiting to write a pretty line. You know, you need to actually just be able to crystallize whatever it is that you think we should be doing and move on. Right?
But it also comes with maturity and guidance. One of the things I found quite jarring when I left corporate, starting at an organization like a Unilever, where even to this day, whenever my dad even tells me a problem with the car, I think in 6 P's.
Yeah.
Like Unilever 6 P's. Trust me, it solves for everything, including your relationships.
Oh, yeah?
It solves everything. It's product, school price, place. Yeah, anyway, you can look that up. 6 P's, right? If you understand price, it, place, proposition, promotion. It's just, where did you put it? How much was it?
I'd love to see how promotion comes into the relationship space.
No, you can't expect ukuthi bazo knock alapha emnyango bazocela ukuthi bakujole uhleli kwakho.
Yeah.
That's promotion.
All right.
Ufuna ukujola, Mario, you're out here on Netflix, one man, curtains drawn the whole weekend. Come now. Get out there. And then price is how you asking people to jump through hoops now to be with you.
Guys.
Anyway, I'm sidetracking.
I will be sending you guys flyers to the seminar that Google and I are going to be running about relationships.
I hate you. Listen, I want to get to a really important thing about it.
The Unilever approach to relationships. Beautiful. I love it.
No,
yeah,
the Google approach to relationships. No, she's not in one. I talk such crap. Listen, the important point I was making is the importance of process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It happens that I walk into agencies sometimes where you have this output document of what creatives should get, but nobody is mentoring creatives through the strategists through a process.
Yeah.
I was lucky in that, having sharpened through a Unilever that technically does strat, right? It's just I got to apply it differently. And then working under an amazing strategist, Laurent Marty from Joe.
Shama,
forever respect for Laurent. Possibly one of the top 5 smartest men I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And he sharpened my axe in strategy always read up on models. Okay, strategy doesn't start when you get the brief.
Strategy is
happening. Like, I'm forming models
about
stuff. Like, I was telling my friends about relationships this morning and I drew a matrix to say to her, how does she rank? But I was joking, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is by the time the brief comes as a strategist, you're not now going to read a textbook.
That's
Joe.
Right. Yeah.
Keep yourself here
and
have
all
your
information.
Tools that you plonk your thoughts into. That's why.
That's great.
So my thing is where I've partnered with now to go into strategy, I'm excited at the opportunity to kind of put some chaos to the Einstein madness.
Yeah.
Right? When do you draw the line? Because trust me, ideas will always come. If you keep thinking, if you're writing a book, if you don't stop at some point, it will be 200,000 pages.
Yeah.
You've got to stop
at some point. Yeah.
And we need to start developing a culture of strategy being a discipline.
Yeah.
As a whole, like,
that's
creatives,
great.
You guys have creative councils.
Yeah.
We need strategy council of sorts where we also reward people who effectively do strategy. It's not about 300 slides.
And maybe that's what's going to help us, guys. Once we have the strategy awards, they're going to help us and help the strategists not try to win creative awards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, strategists are big on recognition as a persona. The type of person who does strategy
is big on winning. I actually believe that a lot.
So you must high five your strategists rather in the corridors. Guys, high five your strategists.
Look,
hug
ask
them,
any strategist I've ever
buy
worked
them
with.
Coffee.
I love them thoroughly.
That's why
I fight with them.
I've got a
tweet here from Timisang Lobo. Shout out Timisang. How you doing?
Hey Timisang.
She says, I love Gugu and her products. So I mean, you're getting a lot of love, and obviously, you know, like, it's two streams of love. You know, it's like this brand love that you're getting, and then there's also like this super duper strategist love that you're getting.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of overflow. You know,
it's the same person.
It is exactly the same person.
I tried to fight it when I left formal employment. He's almost to the day 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
When I walked out of an agency, I don't know if I can say. When I left Ogilvy, the last place I worked formally, was I was trying to get. was trying to get myself into a flow of the strategist created Google Intimates.
Right.
They are not mutually exclusive.
Boom. Boom.
So what I did was I registered Google Intimates and I registered Google Nkabinde and Associates, which was to be the strat consultancy because I love to teach. I wanted to grow more strategists who don't even know their strategists just by the way they problem solve. The same way creatives cultivate creatives. That was what Google Nkabinde and Associates was there to do. But it became a hard job because Google Intimates is a monster. I had no idea when I launched this that I have a potential Spanx on my hands.
Especially exactly.
now,
yeah.
after about 10 months in the business, I've actually just realized what the pilot has just shown me. Cheapest.
Yeah.
So what I had to do was to park. It's not parking it. It's just nail this one down.
Yeah.
You can't keep business developing new clients, Mara, trying to work on this business. So I decided to partner with like-minded people who I sell all my strategy time to, as opposed to brief by brief, when
I feel like working,
when Google needs to pay the bills, now she's looking for a new project, but generally she's fun employed.
Yeah.
I decided to get serious about it, and I committed to a partnership where there are people who see my vision about where strategy could go.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just writing creative
I got you.
You know, it's about making strong agencies. And then, so those people are the same person.
Yeah.
That's why I can run my business from in there.
That's what's
is
up.
Because strategy is not just writing the creative thing.
That's insane. Google, what's it, the old one thing?
I used to have your chair. I know this.
But I was almost done.
That's how insane it is.
It's like the time is almost done. The hour flies by.
I'm having so much fun.
I know, right? It feels like it's just been 5 minutes, and there's so much I think we can talk about. I'm definitely gonna have you back.
Can I pay for more slots? I'll pay. I'll come. Like, how much? I'll be back next week.
we can go find a way. Don't you worry. But thanks for coming through, man. I just think it's been amazing. But how do people get hold of you? From the Google Intimates part, because now we also know that the other one is Dan. You know,
the strat bit. Unfortunately, I'm off. By design, I'm off the market.
That's what's up.
The strat market. TBC to be announced or whatever they say. But on the Google Intimates side, I will remain the chief experience officer of Google Intimates. You can buy Google Intimates online, googleintimates.com. We deliver nationally and internationally.
Dope.
We also are available in the Miss Salon London stores. Miss Salon London, Morningside, Parkhurst and Minden, Maine.
Hello.
If you're in New York, because we know this is an online platform. If you're in New York, you go to Brooklyn, TNT Concept Store, which is on Tompkins Avenue. And if you're in Zimbabwe, in Harare, you go to the Space Boutique.
Boom!
Yeah. And very soon, you'll be able to shop for us in Nigeria, Ghana and Kenya.
That's fantastic. You're doing a lot of dope shit.
When you have insomnia. Listen, anyone following this who has insomnia.
Yeah.
Find better things to do with your sleep. I eventually did. After 32 years, I eventually did.
Guys, thank you so much, Google, for coming to hang out.
Thank you.
It's been another dope show of G-Man the Ad Man. I just think that, you know, the education is just the cup runneth over, so to speak. And it's been an amazing, amazing week. I think get the podcast. Played in your studio. I think there's some words that were said here today that your head of strategy needs to hear, and I think your head of creative probably also needs to hear. But I think thank you. Thanks so much for coming through.
I did not come for anyone.
But like I say every week. And remember to take care of yourself, take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other, because it gets really, really tough out there. And this game gets really, really rough, and people are really rough out there. But we got this. Trust me, we've got this. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom! It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom!
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man and Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.